Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Value of Nothing, How to Reshape Market Society and Redefine Democracy is a nonfiction book by Raj Patel that examines the limits of market-based thinking and the political assumptions behind modern economics, published in the aftermath of the 2008 financial crisis. It challenges the idea that prices reliably measure value and argues that many essential social and ecological goods are systematically ignored by conventional markets. Patel uses economics, political theory, and activist experience to question market fundamentalism, privatization, and corporate power. He is especially concerned with the commons, meaning shared resources and shared social capacities that ought often treat as invisible or disposable. The book is not a technical economics text, but a critical and accessible intervention aimed at readers who want to understand why market society produces repeated crises and how democratic decision-making might better protect public and ecological life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why market prices fail to measure real value. A central argument in the book is that price and value are not the same thing, even though modern market culture often treats them as if they were identical. Patel shows that many of the most important forms of value, such as clean air, biodiversity, public libraries, social trust, and a stable climate, do not appear clearly in market prices. This creates a dangerous distortion, because decisions guided only by price tend to reward profit while ignoring social and environmental damage. The book explains that economics often hides these costs through the language of externalities, a term that can make real harm sound secondary or accidental. Patel's critique is that this is not a minor accounting problem, but a structural failure in how market society defines worth. By separating value from price, he opens space for a broader moral and political understanding of what economies should protect. Secondly, the crisis is political, not just economic. Patel argues that the major failures associated with contemporary capitalism cannot be explained only as technical mistakes in financial management or by blaming ordinary people for bad choices. He presents the crisis as deeply political, rooted in privatization, corporatism, and systems that give disproportionate power to unelected economic actors. In this view, markets do not operate naturally on their own. They are designed and governed through policy, law, and institutional privilege. That means the outcomes of economic life reflect political decisions about who gets to decide, who benefits, and who bears the costs. The book therefore shifts attention away from the usual story that markets simply malfunction when left alone. Instead, Patel asks how political structures normalize inequality and concentrate control, turning economic crises into recurring features of market society. His argument is important because it shows that reform must involve democratic struggle, not just better expertise or more efficient regulation. Thirdly, the commons as a hidden source of social wealth. One of the book's distinctive contributions is its defense of the commons, which Patel presents as a vital but undervalued domain of life. The commons includes shared natural, social, and cultural resources that communities depend on, but that markets often fail to recognize properly. Rather than treating the commons as an outdated relic or an inevitable tragedy, Patel argues that its vulnerability usually results from privatization and enclosure. He draws attention to how public and shared spaces generate value that is hard to monetize but essential for collective well-being. This includes not only physical resources, but also knowledge, cooperation, and social infrastructure. The book's point is that when the commons is made invisible, society loses the ability to defend it against extraction and commodification. Patel treats the commons as a practical and ethical alternative to market absolutism because it emphasizes stewardship, access, and mutual responsibility instead of exclusive ownership and profit maximization. Fourthly, corporations as legal forms that intensify antisocial power. Patel gives special attention to corporations as institutions that magnify the dangers of market society. He describes them as artificial legal persons that can accumulate immense power while avoiding many of the responsibilities that ordinary citizens must bear. This critique is not simply anti-business. It is about how the corporate form can convert social and ecological life into targets for extraction. The book argues that corporations often treat public goods, ecosystems, and even human communities as costs to be managed rather than limits to be respected. This logic helps explain why pollution, resource depletion, and labor exploitation are so persistent in capitalist economies. Patel's analysis is valuable because it connects corporate behavior to the broader ideology of market fundamentalism, rather than treating harmful outcomes as isolated abuses. In doing so, he reveals that corporate power is not an accident outside the system. It is one of the system's main institutional expressions. Lastly, democratizing economic life through participation and shared responsibility, the book does not stop at critique. It also points toward forms of democratic practice that can challenge the dominance of markets. Patel is interested in participatory decision-making, local control, and movements that reclaim economic choices for citizens rather than experts or corporations. This includes examples associated with budgeting, community organization, environmental transition efforts, and grassroots resistance to enclosure. The larger idea is that economic life should be governed by public deliberation about common needs, not just by prices or corporate strategy. Patel suggests that people already possess many of the capacities needed for this kind of society, including trust, judgment, and cooperation. But these capacities are often ignored by market ideology. His political vision is therefore constructive as well as critical democracy, must extend beyond elections into the everyday allocation of resources and collective priorities. This makes the book a call to redesign economic institutions around participation and accountability. In conclusion, The Value of Nothing is best suited for readers interested in economics, political theory, environmental justice, food systems, and democratic reform. It will be especially useful to students, activists, policymakers, and general readers who want a clear critique of why market language so often fails to explain social and ecological reality. The book offers intellectual benefits by clarifying concepts such as externalities, the commons, and market fundamentalism. But it also has practical value because it encourages readers to think about how public goods are protected and how decisions can be made more democratically. What makes it stand out from many books in the same category is its combination of sharp theoretical criticism and accessible prose. Patel does not write as if markets are merely imperfect. He shows how the very habit of equating price with value shapes public life, politics, and environmental destruction. At the same time, he avoids simple despair by pointing toward collective action, shared resources, and participatory forms of governance as credible alternatives. This balance of critique and possibility gives the book its lasting relevance. If you would like to support Raj Patel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.